It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Pivot off the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you. Larry.
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball. You hit the ball. You catch the ball. You got it!
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma, as usual. Not usual to have Chris Goff on the line from Metro Sports in Kansas City. Chris, you're a native of Kansas City, is that correct?
I am.
So what's it like to be back home? Because you did work a little bit here in Connecticut. So what was it like for you to get a job and get a job where you grew up?
Oh, it was great coming back home. I love my experience living up there, and I actually lived in Darien for a while. But then I was able to come back home in 2003. And my entire family lives here, so to get back in the sports world here, which is what I went to college for to begin with, to be a sports broadcaster, it's been a great run here.
Darien, of course, the finish line for Cannonball Run Part 2.
Love that movie.
There's my cheesy movie quote of the day. But anyway, let's talk a little about Kansas City and the Yankees. And, you know, Kansas City hasn't been to the playoffs, and I'm sure you're well aware of this, Since they won the World Series in 1985. So, Chris, what's the feeling like in Kansas City for a once proud franchise with a great fan base that has now had to deal with 25 years of just not making the playoffs?
You know, it's obviously the easy answer is frustration. But the funny thing is that, you know, per capita-wise, our draw still at Kauffman Stadium is still relatively okay based on the fact that, like you said, it's been 25 years since we've done anything in the postseason. You know, it's hard to hate the Royals because it's the way the baseball sort of turned is that you have, you know, the small market teams or whatever you want to call them, which, you know, I hate using that, but at the same time, we're constantly going to be in this youth movement scenario. We can bring in some big price guys every once in a while, and they're always like lower tier big money guys. You know, you had Gil Mesh. We signed him to a big deal. That was big for Kansas City, paying a guy $55 million over 5 years. Jose Guillen, another big signing for us. Now, both these guys, very questionable, whether it's injury or attitude-wise.
Right.
But, you know, the Kansas City fan has gotten used to they become a little apathetic to losing in some ways because they don't hate the team. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs fans, they hate the Chiefs when they lose, and they stop going. The Royals fans stop going to an extent, but I don't know. If you listen to sports talk radio or anything out here, they don't hate the Royals like they do the Chiefs when they're bad. I think they just come to realize that the Royals will never be anything like they're never going to be a dynasty in the way baseball's set up now. So I think they've just sort of come to understand that, and I guess they're just happy to have a team here.
But when they look at a team, when you look at a team being from that area, like the Rays, who were the cellar dwellers for so long, and then in 2008, they rise up and they make the World Series. They do all the right things. Of course, they had a lot of number one draft picks to go along the way.
Yeah.
But does that give Kansas City hope that maybe one day they'll be able to put it together and get back to the postseason?
Well, you know, the team that's always pointed to out here is the Minnesota Twins, but you know, in terms of a TV market, the Twins isn't a small market team. They're the eighth biggest television market in the country. So I always think it's funny that they're labeled a small market team. But we do look at them, and you do see how they built it for the last 10, 15 years. And just like the Rays, you said, some luck on the Rays side there with everything sort of working out. And that's the way I look as a fan, as a journalist who covers the Royals now. You have to sort of look at it as if we have to hit on every single draft, high draft pick, every single free agent signing that we have, and everything must align for the Royals to ever even have a chance to have any kind of mini run as a top tier team in baseball. I mean, that's just how the world of baseball is now.
Chris,
and, you know, we've had a lot of high draft picks as well, but unfortunately, until recently, and I can't really even say that yet, but I do have a lot more, a better attitude about what they might become as opposed to the past where they were just horrible.
Chris, I'm glad you're with us, and this is why. Amongst many reasons, this is one of the main reasons I'm glad you're with us, because I don't know if you're on Twitter or not. Are you?
Not really. No, I'm more of a Facebook guy.
You're more of a Facebook guy. All right. Well, if you're on Twitter and you're a Yankee fan and you follow the right people, you could just see during an inning-by-inning basis of a Yankee game how spoiled Yankee fans are. And basically, I end maybe 2 out of every 10 of my blogs with, hey, you could always go to Kansas City. Now, it's not making fun of the Royals, but it gets to the point that the Yankee fan gets so spoiled by what goes on in this area with baseball that they never stop and think, Kansas City was once a proud franchise, and as we discussed, 25 years without the postseason, if that happened here, my God, I don't know what would happen.
Oh, obviously, it's completely different. I love baseball's my favorite sport, so I hate saying this, but as a guy in Kansas City who sees the way the world of baseball is, in my opinion only, I would really like baseball to just collapse on itself, sort of like the NHL did, and just start from scratch and get some kind of semblance to where I know the baseball television contract is a lot harder than other sports, but it's just, I don't care what anybody says. If you just logically stand back and see like a team like Kansas City, there's no way that Kansas City is ever going to compete with New York and Boston in today's market. And people can say, well, 20 years ago, you know, 1980, the Royals beat the Yankees. Why can't you do that anymore? It's become such a bigger business now that it's so out of whack for anybody outside of like the top 10 markets in America to continue to be at the top, such as you guys, and like you said, you're used to winning. The only sports team in Kansas City area that's used to winning are the KU Jayhawks. So I sort of understand what you're talking about in terms of they just feel entitled to it, but they're just used to it, and I can't blame them.
One more for me before I hand you off to Joe. And since you brought up the 80 Royals, I'll go back even more, 77, 78. Growing up, I was a huge, huge Willie Randolph guy. I played second base, so he was my favorite player. But I had to keep this to myself. I also liked Frank White as well.
Sure, sure.
I mean, how could you not? I mean, the double play combination there with him and Patek. I mean, it was great. And you sit back and you watch a guy like Frank White, and you're like, it was not like Michael Jordan. I don't want to go that far, but it was like a love-hate relationship. Like, you hated the guy because he played for the hated Royals, but you had to love and respect what he did on the field.
Oh, Frank White's an outstanding guy, and of course he was our manager for our AA team for a while when it was in Wichita. Now he's one of our broadcasters, our color commentator on television now, so he's still with the organization. You know, in fact, he wanted to be manager of the big club here a while back after he got done with the AA team, but I think we learned our lesson as an organization after Hal McRae, and he got fired in sort of a tumultuous way, that we don't really want to do that with our few hand-picked superstars such as George Brett or Frank White, like you said, Willie Wilson as well. So I think he's happy now being part of the organization, but I don't think he's ever going to get the big chair.
Hey, how are you, Chris? It's Joe Auriemma.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm good. I actually want to talk about this current team right now, and just looking at the team as a whole, you know, like Chris said, you know, you guys have not had a winning season since Tony Peña was there in 2003.
Sure.
But do you see a lot of promise with some of the young players that you guys have brought up that, you know, might be in the minor league system that, you know, could perpetuate a winning season coming up soon?
Well, in the last 10, 15 years, it has been obvious that we have been horrible in terms of drafting, in terms of talent development, in terms of just building up our minor league system. I mean, back in the day when Johnny Damon was a rookie coming up, around that era in the mid-90s, we were definitely one of the best minor league systems around because we still had a lot of resources that we were dumping into that.
Right.
Allard Baird became our general manager, and he was a great guy, and a lot of people still love him here. However, he was a scout at heart, and he really wasn't, and I know it sounds weird, but player development was not like high on his list. We cut back as many minor league teams as we had. We didn't have as many people internationally. So when Dayton Moore came in a few years ago, you know, I got to give the Glass family credit, who own the Royals now. For years and years, they didn't. They drafted for signability. They didn't draft. They didn't sign big free agents. They didn't even try to spend any money. It was basically like you're just taking the luxury tax money off the Yankees. They just kept getting ripped on for that. But what has happened with Dayton Moore now is he's gotten the confidence of the Glasses. They've put a lot of money in our draft picks now. And Dayton Moore's first full draft was 2007. So some of the draft picks that he had, we took second overall was Mike Moustakas, third baseman out of California. And he's a guy that's knocking on the door in AAA right now, and hopefully he'll be our third baseman of the future. And that's really going to be the determining factor of how we feel we're going to be doing in the future as the Royals organization. But I must say, I don't know if it's just a false hope or we're just reaching for anything, but I think Kansas City fans and media and everybody really thinks that Dayton has built this up to a point to where in the next couple of years we should have our nucleus of players you know, on our baseball field. And we did have it for a while. Offensively, like I said, Johnny Damon, Carlos Beltran. We had a lot of people back then.
Yeah, Jermaine Dye. It's been so long. Yeah, you guys really had a heck of an outfield, you know, in the late 90s into 2000. and like you said, that it's just a matter of building. But you're in an AL Central where the Indians have kind of bottomed out now. They had their run in the 90s. The Twins just continue to marvel every year, as you had said before. And, you know, there is a chance for the Royals to make hay if some of these guys can come up. So if over this next decade these guys, you know, these guys turn out, you did say that you're still getting good crowds at Kauffman Stadium. Could this be, you know, a complete Royals town again?
Oh, you know what? It's more so than the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are big, and the Chiefs had a ton of – they've been horrible the last few years. But, you know, through the whole 90s, the Chiefs were really big here, and it was a red and yellow town.
Right.
And that's because the Royals obviously didn't have the best decade and a half. But this town in 2003, granted, it's all relative. We're not the Yankees. We know that. But
right.
Relatively speaking, this town, as soon as we started out hot with Tony Pena, finished third, but we were in the race until the very last month. The crowds were just really big. And even for Zach Greinke's Cy Young performance last year, every one of his starts drew a very big crowd. So it's always been sort of a sleeping giant situation here. I think everybody sort of realizes that if they ever do get good, we will be having 30,000 people out of Kauffman Stadium minimum every night, because we're still drawing 15 now, and they're really bad. So we see the writing on the wall. I just hope it ever comes to fruition.
All right. I have one more question for you, too, because, look, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox are, you know, some say the greatest rivalry in sports. But really, between 1976 and, you know, 1980-81, the Yankees and the Royals really had a great rivalry. You know, just intense fights and great series. It was really every series that they played each other was a must-watch, and the postseason was just tremendous. What do Royals fans remember about that rivalry?
Well, that rivalry is obviously huge. In the history of the game, as in the longtime fans, we know that that is, besides winning in 1985 against our in-state rivals, the Cardinals, I mean, nobody equals the New York Yankees. Obviously, it's sad to talk about from our perspective, because we do see all the old clips all the time of, you know, the great moments or the not-so-great moments, the Pine Tar game, the Chris Chambliss home run, or the great moments of George Brett. So it's, you know, we see it in the old film that's a little run down now, and we see it replayed over and over. And it's sad to think that what happened? I mean, why can't it be this way anymore? And I guess my opinion, it's become such a big business that we can't compete money-wise and population-wise to keep up with that. But, yeah, we definitely know that is a big-time historical thing for our franchise, and we love talking about it. We love the Billy Martin stories. We love the Pine Tar game gets overplayed here so much, and we get talked about here so much. And, of course, the whole Dick Houser getting fired from the Yankees, coming over and helping us win our only title here. It's been something that we enjoy looking back on, and hopefully one day I can get there again.
You know, it's funny you bring up the Pine Tar incident, because Now guys go up there and the pine tar is up to basically the top of the bat and no one says a word.
Their entire helmet's covered in it. You can tell what color it is and the bat's like black. Yeah, I know.
And some of the helmets could be used as bats pretty much.
Absolutely right.
I got to ask you this before we let you go. Oriema, I guess, wanted to pass it off on me, but I guess I'll be the bad guy here. George Brett has gone pretty much full circle. I mean, this guy, I don't know. I've never been to Kansas City, so is he considered a legend in Kansas City?
Oh, God. He is the legend in Kansas City.
Okay.
He's maybe second. Second might be Len Dawson, who brought up their only Super Bowl. But, yes, it's George Brett.
I was going to guess Christian Okoye, but whatever.
No. It was good for that three-year window.
But here's the thing. I don't know if you saw the YouTube thing, and that's all I'm going to call it with George Brett. But it had Joe and I laughing hysterically.
That was shot at my company.
Was it really?
Yes, and it has been somewhat of a black eye for us. The funny thing about that tape is that tape sat in. See, we did a lot of mic'd up features, as you do, and you do it. I'm sure.
So he knew he was mic'd up at the time.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So he was totally mic'd up the entire time. George like doesn't really care. He doesn't have to prove anything to anybody, nor does he. I mean, George to me is perpetually like that 18 to 21 year old dude. He plays golf all the time. He's still one of the boys. He's just a kid playing a game, and he's still that way at 50 some years old, right?
So, good for him.
That's not a big shock that he was talking that way. But we obviously agreed not to put that on the air. We can't air that on our television. So
I think the ratings sort of went up a little bit.
He had it in his desk for like 4 years.
Yeah, I read that. I read that.
And we had an intern who was just a horrible person, and he got basically kicked out because he was worthless. And he had taken the tape. Dubbed it off and put it on the web. And my boss has got in this big legal battle with YouTube and wanting to take it down. But I must say the auto-tuned version of it. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, not yet. But I guarantee you, as soon as we're done here, we're going to check it out.
You should look up the song that they put to it because it is even in the worst. Even the people, even George Brett has to laugh at it because it is pretty good.
See, but I could see him totally looking at that on YouTube and laughing his rear end off. I really could.
Doesn't.
Yeah,
he doesn't care. He did. He was ticked at the time because I think more so about he just wanted the person that did it to somehow get some kind of punishment, which I believe happened because they found out who did it.
Right.
But yeah, it definitely made some waves here. And that was from, I was down there with us. That was down there at the time. I didn't actually shoot George that day though, but it has become a YouTube legend.
Well, Chris, we had to get in a little bit of the pop culture in there. And if we had to do that, listen, I have to tell you, from myself and my own struggles trying to get on the air in the area that I love, I'm really happy that you were able to get back to the area that you love and the town that you grew up in, and you're doing what you want to do. So good luck to you and all that you do, and hopefully we will talk to you down the line.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Chris and Joe. Thanks for having me on, and tell Kevin Sullivan hi.
We definitely will. We call Joe the godfather of YesNetwork.com, but Kevin, we have to come up with something else.
I also know John Lane as well. So
John Lane. Everybody's getting a shout out. All right, Chris Goff from Metro Sports in Kansas City, we thank you for your time.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
This is the first step in what's going to be a long process. But Mr. Rodriguez, like everyone else, has family issues and family concerns on top of the pressure that athletes like him face every day. Mr. Rodriguez is obviously distressed. He's 28 years old, never had anything like this happen to him before. It's quite a shock for a young man to be put in handcuffs and taken away in charge.
Take me now. I would karaoke this right now if I actually could hear the music, but we're putting that in post. But still, oh God. If you can't guess what we're going to talk about here and you live in the New York area, you pick up a paper every once in a while.
It's unbelievable. Those New York mutts. I love them. God. They provide so much fun to the New York area.
How could a team that was competing for first place with the Phillies and then the Braves,
mm-hmm.
they've been awful since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
God-awful since the All-Star break. Jerry Manuel has lost that team.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
He's lost the fans, he's lost the beat reporters, everybody.
It's unbelievable because I was actually reading our good friend Kevin Kernan last night on Twitter, and he was pretty harsh toward Jerry and his post-game comments last night. And you're right, it's not just the players, it's the media, it's the fans, it's everything. There is no confidence in Jerry Manuel right now.
All right, let me say this. I said it before and I'll say it again. Yup, it was Willie. How does Omar Minaya, again, they're chanting fire Jerry last night. How about a fire Omar chant?
I agree.
Let's face it.
I agree, totally.
Everything this guy touches with this team turns to dust,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And you look at some of the contracts, I know people are going to say, well, you know, Beltran got hurt. And you look at some of the contracts, the Castillo, the Ali Perez, just one bumbling contract after another of players that these fans cannot connect with. There's nothing there. And he gave them millions upon millions of dollars.
Here's what I suggest, okay? Bring Will Ferrell in, put him on a pitcher's mound with a microphone, have him sing Dust in the Wind, okay?
Yeah.
And then usher Omar out and say, you are done. Usher Jerry out, you are done.
It's too bad they can't usher Jeff Wilpon out because the guy owns the team.
But it's funny, though, because every year around this time, the talk around this town is, it's time for the Mets to clean house. And they never do it.
Yeah, and what amazes me most is that they talked all about last year that you know, their season was unacceptable and they won't do, you know, they won't go through an embarrassment like that again. They went on the Francesa show. They traipsed around New York. And what did they do? They came back and they did exactly the same thing and they didn't improve their team at all.
I'm going to throw this out at you because you're a Knick fan like I am.
Rooting
for the New York Mets
is
like being a New York Knick fan. Yeah. I know what the Mets fans go through. And they might think that's ridiculous to say that because of who I root for in baseball, but think about that for a second.
Yeah,
they've got owners who, listen, Madoff or no Madoff, they have no clue.
None.
A new stadium is not going to bring people in if that new stadium is in New York and the product that you put on the field isn't what these people expect, especially with the prices.
The state of New York sports, other than the Yankees and the two football teams, to me, is a complete joke. It's a complete joke right now. And then on top of everything, what happens last night? Well, then, you know, there's a big fight in the clubhouse between K-Rod and his father-in-law.
Not another player.
He gets arrested for a third-degree assault misdemeanor.
Now, I could see another player. Like, it's been a long season. You're slowly drifting back in the NL East. Someone says something you don't want, you know, you don't want to hear, and you go at it. Everybody breaks it up, but it boosts up team morale. Hey, we got it out. It's done. It was his father-in-law.
I know. It's so pathetic.
And what did you tweet last night? I think we should share that with everybody. By the way, it's at Joe Auriemma, yes.
That's correct.
You could follow him on Twitter.
I said, finally, it looks like K-Rod is going to have something to save his marriage. Because it's certainly not any games.
Wow. I mean, it's just, it always goes from bad to worse with this team.
Yeah,
always.
It's unbelievable. It's look, Chris, they're having a rough go of it. Like you said, since the All-Star break, I'll give you the numbers right now. I'll break it down for you. Since the All-Star break, the team is 8-17.
That's just
in the last 25 games. You want to go back even further? Okay. You know, they were not bad up until, let's just say, from June 28th, which was the 76th game of the season. It's now the 113th game of the season. They're 13-25.
And how could you not try to improve the team? Look, You have Johan Santana. How much longer is Johan Santana going to be an ace?
He's already starting to show signs.
Already
of
showing signs of going downhill. Yeah. Not fast, but going downhill. He's still a very, very, very viable number one starter.
Right.
But how long do you think that's going to last? You got to get some people in here to compliment this guy before it's too late.
And it might almost be there, because Mike Pelfrey has just been a joke, down the stretch. He had a great performance the other night, but he's been awful. He's been since his 9-1 start, he's been absolutely atrocious. And, you know, it's nice to have Jonathan Neese and all these guys, but after a while, it's just they needed a second starter. That's what they needed, dude. And they just didn't do it. They didn't go out and get the starter that they needed.
Well, let's flip the script and talk about the Yankees. And, it's something we talked about with Chris Goff from Metro Sports in Kansas City when we opened up the podcast this week. And I have to reiterate, I'm so glad we talked to him, because maybe now people who are on Twitter who are Yankee fans that listen to the podcast, and we will promote the hell out of this on Twitter so you do listen to the podcast, will figure out, hey, you know what? We don't have it that bad. You know, you have a team with, not the best record in the American League. Not the best record. It's the best record in Major League Baseball. They're the first team to 70 wins. And, I read in the paper the other day, there's rumblings in the clubhouse. They need one more bat. What?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Some of the tweets that I got over last week when the Yankees went through their little struggling period was, I'll tell you right now, once I get through my making fun of Darren Oliver being old tweets, some of the tweetbacks were unbelievable. I got one that said, the Yankees suck after a loss.
Oh, good.
And I came back and just killed this person for saying that. I just said, it's really a matter of, you live in this area, you're a Yankee fan, you're spoiled. And I said, if you think this Yankees team sucks, then you should have been a fan in 1990 when they won 67 games. And the Royals go through that
every year. Every year. How many times have I blogged and at the end of my blog said, it could be worse, you could be in Kansas City?
And you're not trying to knock the Kansas City Royals.
No, not at all.
You're just stating a fact. They haven't been to the playoffs.
You heard Chris.
Since 1985.
That's the way baseball is set up right now. It is. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. And a once proud franchise like the Kansas City Royals, it's true. They cannot compete with the Red Sox and the Yankees. They can't. They don't have the money.
Nope. They don't.
But I have to share a tweet with you while you're still looking for your tweets. Here's one that just drove me insane. And for people who follow me on Twitter and you wonder why I don't tweet every game, it's because I get on my phone. First of all, Uber Twitter for the BlackBerry drains the life out of my battery for my BlackBerry.
Yeah, it does.
It is awful because it updates every 10 seconds and my battery's fully charged. 1 second and a half hour later, I have to go plug it in because of Uber Twitter. That's one of the reasons. The other reason is because I can't take the negativity. And I don't want to say what's really on my mind because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But the tweets that I see during Yankee games drive me crazy.
Not everybody either, because there are people that sit there and, are very logical people. But there are some people on here that they live and die with to the detriment. Like, it's good to be a fan and live and die on every pitch, but it's not good when it's a borderline obsession when you think this team has to literally win every game. Okay, they went through a rough stretch, and guess what? Even after this rough stretch, they still have the best record in Major League Baseball.
One of those good guys is Lumpy231, by the way. Very head-on straight Yankee fan. I'm not going to mention the person who tweeted this, because I don't roll like that. But after the Yankees lost the first game to Texas in Arlington, this was tweeted. I'm not making this up. Great, we just lost to the Rangers. That's like losing to the Orioles. Discuss.
Wow. I, I,
I didn't know the Orioles were in first place, running away with a division.
And with Cliff Lee at the top of the rotation.
With Cliff Lee at the top of the rotation.
And with a staff that's been awesome this year and an offense that has been just as equally good. They've been great this year. They added Jorge Cantu and Cliff Lee before the trading deadline.
I saw something else about how Brian Cashman should you know, before he makes a deal, look at teams and figure out that they're losing teams that he's getting players from.
I saw that, and that's actually by a viable tweeter, too. That was by someone that is in the New York market. And all I have to say to that is, what winning team is going to trade anybody away?
Not only that, but the players. Kerry Wood shut the Rangers down for 2 innings last night.
But even that, with my point, is what winning teams are selling? Would Roy Oswalt be on the block if the Astros were in first place?
No, they wouldn't have gave him the Philadelphia.
It doesn't make any sense.
Anyway, I mean, it's just to get a shot in at Cashman. And I don't get it. This team has the best record in baseball. I'm just telling you, enjoy it. Don't get all stressed out inning to inning. Don't get all delusional because the Yankees go down 1-0, 2-0, 3-2.
This team.
Do you realize this lineup? Go back.
This team has come back before. It has happened. Last night was not something that's new where they were down 6-1. It was more impressive because they did it against Cliff Lee and the Rangers, that team that is just so awful and it's like losing to the Orioles. But the Yankees have come back. They have a propensity to come back because they have all-stars at every position,
and
basically.
And I got news for you, okay? I got some news. It's breaking news. The Yankees might not win the World Series this year. Did Chris just say that? Yes! They can't win it every year. Do they want to win it every year? Of course they do.
So
of course they do.
Yeah.
Are they going to? No! If they won it every year, who would watch baseball? Besides Yankee fans. Who? That's what sports is all about, people. Competition. Competition. And getting different teams in the playoffs and having those cities being able to experience what New York does.
How about
than anyone.
How about the fact that last year, to me, was a very special year because they hadn't won since 2000. It was a nine-year drought. It was great. But even with that being said, it was a nine-year drought. Be a Met fan, 86. Be a Royals fan, 85. Be a Cubs fan, 08.
08.
1908.
102 years. And it's going to be 103 because they're not making the playoffs. I got news for you.
1908. And these are the tweets that I'm getting. I put up the thing, at the end of the game, I'll just say, Yankees lose this one if they lose a game. And I got a reply back, and it said, they suck. And then I came back and said, how could you even say that? This team has the best record in baseball. Why didn't you be a Yankee fan in 1990 and 1991 when they actually did suck? And I was born in 91, but I hate to see them lose. So it's one thing to hate to see them lose, but it's another thing
So let's put this into perspective. This kid's 19 years old. Okay, when he was 5, they won their first World Series. So they've won 5 championships. 5.
Yeah.
In his 19-year life. If someone was born in 1909, and God bless them if they're still alive, in Chicago at 101, he hasn't seen one Cubs World Series championship! You've seen 5 and you're 19! Pipe down!
It's unbelievable. And you look at the White
Sox. I can't help but laugh at myself.
You look at the White Sox. The White Sox, 2005 was so special because they won a World Series.
Listen, Joe, you've known me.
2004 was so special to the Red Sox because they won a World Series.
You've known me since 2002, correct?
Yeah.
Since you came here from the lovely Quinnipiac University.
That's correct.
What one team one team that I like, and you know them all, what one team will keep me up at night if they lose a big game?
The Yankees.
The New York Yankees.
Like me.
But.
Yeah.
But do we understand that they can't win 162 games? Do we understand that they're not going to win the World Series? Do we want them to? Of course we do.
You're a fan. I'm a fan. It's just how it is. You want them to win. I get it. You don't want them to lose, like he's saying. But to make an asinine statement saying...
Plus the person spelled was W-A-Z. Look, I could see if you're going to... You know, your is Y-O-U-R. If you put U-R, I see it. You're cutting down the letters. If you're going to say was...
W-A-S.
And you're going to use Z instead of S? I just want to take the computer and throw it out a, you know, 85-story building.
I think it landed on the dog. The Commando 5000. Install.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well,
like I said,
and that's the other thing. Yankee fans, just look across to Queens and just see that the New York Mets have all of these problems. They continue to lose every game. Their star players in David Wright and Jose Reyes are again, you know, Wright's having a decent year, but again, he is part of the reason why the team has had a downfall here. Jason Bay, their big free agent signing, has been absolutely awful this year. I think he only has 6 home runs. And you look at Carlos Beltran coming back off the DL, that he's been a joke since he came back. They have no pitching. Pelfrey has been awful. And you look at their bullpen, and now you have these issues with K-Rod beating up his father-in-law, who, you know, again, I'd love to be a...
Maybe the Mets will call up Brian Bruni.
I'd love to be a fly in the wall at that Thanksgiving. And my whole thing is, you know, it's one disaster after another. Tony Bernazard, Omar Minaya, Jeff Wilpon, they're a joke. It's a disaster.
Anyway, you know what? Next week, we're going to have to start talking a little foosball.
Yeah, we're there. And Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. I did not get to see the episode. You know, it'll probably be on 50 more times before the next one comes on, so I'll be able to see it before the next one. But heard from Troy Benjamin, producer here, that it wasn't good.
Wasn't good, huh?
Not good.
I wasn't a fan
of
the show.
And I read that
before.
It was the Rex Ryan show. Like you would have any other inkling before it came on that it would be the Rex Ryan show.
I want Darrell Revis to just take a stand and sit out all season, baby. Let's do it. Rex saying we could win without this guy. Fine. That's okay.
Here's my thing. And we'll leave you with this. And you tell me what you think. I don't know what the Patriots have on defense. I'll be completely honest. I'm not going to sit here and wax poetic about their defense because I don't know. I do know this. They have Bill Belichick. And he hasn't lost anything on his fastball.
No, not at all.
He always seems to put together.
They have a young secondary core. That's the one thing that they're struggling
with. The one thing they have that the Jets do not have is an accomplished quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brady.
Maybe one of the greatest to ever play.
Mark Sanchez.
To ever play the game.
Is like Goliath versus David. And unless Brady gets injured, I don't see Sanchez slinging any rocks that are going to hit Brady in the head.
No, and Tom Brady hasn't lost anything on his fastball either.
I don't mean to rain on your parade, Jet fans, but channel your inner Joe Beningo for a second and be a little bit...
Humble.
Humble and be a little bit...
Let's also not forget about the Dolphins, who have bolstered up their defense.
Oh, wouldn't that be...
Won the division 2 years ago.
Wouldn't that be sweet irony if Jason Taylor comes to the Jets
and then they come back and win it? And the other thing is, it's not only that, but they love their quarterback in Henny, who's, you know, again, he's not Tom Brady, and he's, you know, him and Mark Sanchez are on the same level. But then they went out and got Brandon Marshall.
Yeah. That helps.
That's not a bad team either.
That helps. All right, that's going to wrap it up. We'll talk more Jets, and I will bring in the Giants as well to our next podcast. That's next week. And the Yankees, let's see where they will be next week and what we will be talking about. After wrapping up their series of 4-game set in Kansas City, they come back home. They have Detroit for 4, and Joe and I will be talking about the tail end of that series and Seattle Mariners coming into town. For Joe Auriemma, Chris Goff of Metro Sports in Kansas City, I'm Chris Scheer. We will see you next time here on the Off the Wall podcast, brought to you by nothing.
Hey! When the world is on your shoulder, gotta straighten up your act.
Send the music get to you like it's so bad at all. If you live it off the wall.